Hello, and welcome to the Shantagold quarterly update. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. And just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Eric Zurn, CEO. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for dialing into today's quarter four 2019 report for Shantagold. Just to remind you, Shanta is the third largest gold producer in Tanzania, and we're in good company behind Barrick and AngloGold. Joining me today from Tanzania, myself and Dar and Luke at the mine, is Luke Leslie, the CFO of Shanta. Our flagship mine in New Luweka is the New Luweka gold mine in southwestern Tanzania and has now moved into its eighth year of continuous production. So let's kick off on slide three of the presentation that's on our website. My opening comment this morning is around safety, and that's because as a company, Shant has reached a new milestone. We've now surpassed 4 million man hours without an LTI, and that's dating back 25 months. So this commendable performance really is down to our employees. They remain focused, and this has bode really well for the company. Overall, our injury frequency rate is now down to 1.00 in 2019. This is our fourth consecutive annual decline in injuries and an 11% reduction from 2018. Moving on to production, Q4 was another steady result. We produced 19,550 ounces, resulting in full year production of 84,506 ounces. And most importantly for us, led to a stronger balance sheet, and this was part of exceeding our production guidance that we set 12 months ago of 80 to 84,000 ounces. I was on site earlier this week, and I can report that the mine's performing well. Our employees are motivated, and all departments are firing on all cylinders. During the quarter, net debt reduced by 31% to $14.3 million. Net debt during the year overall decreased by 55%. Since where we were at the end of 2018. And we estimate that we'll be in a net cash position sometime in the next few quarters. We had some positive movement on VAT. We put that in our announcement. We had a $7.4 million improvement on a gross basis. So that included two cash refunds totaling $2.7 million and setting off our corporate income taxes of $4.7 million, so in total $7.4 million movement on the VAT. Overall, the receivable reduced by $5.6 million, now down to $21.8 million at the end of December. The all-in sustaining cost during the quarter was $902 per ounce, bringing our overall cost for the year to $779 on target within guidance. Cost during the quarter reflected just under $50 an ounce of improvements to our power station. This was flagged earlier in the quarter. Most importantly, we've already now seen the improvement in lower consumables in the power station. So December power costs were down to 16 cents per kilowatt, which we normally had had about 20 cents per kilowatt. So there's already an improvement. That was about a $200,000 saving in that month alone. So we should get a pretty good payback sooner than later. In 2020, we're guiding for 80 to 85,000 ounces of gold production at an all-in sustaining cost of $830 to $880 U.S. The increase in cost base is driven by more open pit mining. So that's more lower grade, higher cost mining. That's about $40 an ounce of increase. Higher royalties from the higher gold price. That's about $20 an ounce. And a non-cash impact from our reduction in ROM stockpile, which is about $20 an ounce. We're committing 65% more money to exploration, and I'll take you through why. So that's overall about $5 million of exploration spend next year, which includes 11,000 meters of drilling. Skipping ahead to slide four, and then on to slide five. So the next slide I'll cover is slide five. Underground production performed well during the quarter. We mined 144,000 tons at 5.17 grams per ton from Bahinia Creek and the Alunga deposits. We expect to mine from additional sources in 2020. So we're going to stretch that to mine from Luweka, Shamba, Open Pit, And we're going to open up a small open pit at the BC East deposit, which will overall increase our operational flexibility further. So we'll have five active sources of ore in 2020. I can report that underground development is progressing well underground. And by March of this year, so in just a little over 2 months, we will have completed all of our underground development for the ounces that we expect to produce in 2020. So that's really good news in terms of managing our risk. Moving on to slide six, processing plant is performing very well. We set a new record in 2019 for tons milled. Overall, we milled 702,000 tons during the year at an average grade of 4.19 grams per ton. Now, a bit of color on this because I think it's important to give you a bit more background here. So what we effectively did is we increased gold production by 3% from the processing plant, despite lowering our head grade by 4%. So the way I see this is a great outcome because we're now headed in the right direction. We're preserving our high-grade ounces, optimizing our mine plan, and effectively extending our mine life by mining by using more of the lower grade. Now, also important here to note is the quality of our ROM stockpile. So that's improved materially during the quarter. We actually put more high-grade ounces on the stockpile, so we increased the average grade on the stockpile by 7%, and we decreased the number of tons on the stockpile by 8%. So that removes some of the working capital drag that we've been having. So again, really important, careful management of the ROM stockpile. We're preserving our high-grade ounces. Moving on to slide seven, this chart really speaks for itself. 2019 year was another steady year of cash flow generation. During the year, we generated $48 million of EBITDA and $46.5 million of cash flow. Again, both an improvement on 2018, obviously helped by the higher gold price and slightly more production, but again, higher cash flow despite lowering the head grade by 4%. On to slide eight. Again, another chart that speaks for itself. We've been showing this one over and over again. Net debt experienced a sharp fall in Q4, down to $14.3 million. Year over year, the net debt reduced by 55%. Liquidity improved since Q3, so liquidity is now up to $13.7 million from $11.6 million. And I reiterate the significance of a strong balance sheet with financial flexibility as a junior gold producer. We've seen the carnage left behind by numerous juniors who've over-levered assets and they suffer the consequences. So we're in really good shape with the balance sheet. On to slide nine. Again, this is another slide we've used time and time again to illustrate the re-rating that the Shanta shareholders have received from lowering our debt balance. There's been a significant transfer of value from debt to equity since Q3 2017, and now our shareholders own about 89% of the company's enterprise value, which is more than double the 42% it was back in Q3 2017. So good result overall. On to slide 10, probably the most important driver of value for Shanta shareholders, as we've said time and time again, is extending the mine life. So In the quarter, we announced new ounces into the mine plan. In total, we added about 91,000 ounces to the life of mine after the deduction for the decrease at Ilunga. These new reserves have extended our mine plan through to 2024. And as a comment, I can say we believe that as we continue to invest in exploration and drilling, we will continue to extend the mine life. So that's our hypothesis. We've got a bloody good team on site. And they're working hard. Thus far, for us, the return on exploration spending has far outweighed any other capital investment return. So we're excited by exploration. On to slide 11. Exploration drilling during the quarter continued. We put out these results back in December. These results were not included in the reserve update that we put out in November. So we would hope that we would be able to convert this into reserves sometime this quarter. Recall our top focus here is adding mine life, and specifically mine life that is already within permitted areas requiring minimal capex. So that's where we're going to spend quite a bit of our money in 2020. In terms of the budget for 2020, we'll be drilling 11,000 meters. That's split 7,000 meters of diamond on the mining licenses and 4,000 meters of regional RC drilling across our land holding. Now, finally, onto slide 12 here, just a bit more on exploration because it's so important for us. We've increased our budget to $5 million, as I said earlier. Our first priority is adding reserves in the area here on the slide in the yellow and blue. These are the kind of higher priority targets for us. These are the ones that give us a lot of value. In 2019, we already had three new discoveries in this area, which has translated into reserves. This is in the blue area. We discovered BC North, BC East, and Elizabeth Hill North. And we're still early in our understanding of this blue area, of these three new targets, deposits, but we are hopeful that these could be significant contributors of ore to the mine plan in the future. So there'll be more drilling here. As I said, we'll be opening up BC East from the surface, taking a few ounces out of there, which gives us a better understanding of the geology this year. In terms of priorities, I'll summarize very quickly here on slide 13. It's production, it's mine life extension, it's deleveraging, and it's unlocking value, which is Singida. This is where we're going to continue to map our commitments and spend our time in 2020. And then finally, in terms of bit of news flow and what to expect over the next couple of months, on slide 14, what I can say is we'll be delivering some updates on drilling from BC Deep. Sometime this quarter, we'll be doing, as I said earlier, a reserve and resource update and hopefully adding more reserves from this drilling that we were doing at the moment. We'll be putting out some more updates on Singida because we're quietly making progress with this project in the background, and there's a few interesting things we're working on that we'll be updating the market with. And then finally, as the balance sheet continues to strengthen, we believe we'll be moving to a net cash position before long, which gives us a wealth of options to create value and ultimately reward our shareholders overall. So with that, I'll hand it back to the operator to open up to any questions for Luke or myself.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of Justin Chan from Numis. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Congratulations on a strong quarter and getting that down further. My first one's on guidance for next year. Can you give us a breakdown of your expectations from the underground mines and the open pit in terms of tonnage and grade?
Yep, no, good question. So from the open pits, we have just under 100,000 tons from open pit. And from the undergrounds, I believe it's just around 500,000 tons. So kind of 1 to 6 will be from the open pits. Chamba is the one that's the most mining, so I think it's about 65,000 tons. Grade's around 2 grams, but strip is quite high, around 11. So that's important because once we finish Chamba mining in 2020, once we do the 2020 Chamba, the strip drops quite a bit into 2021 at Chamba. So that's really the source of the higher cost. It was $40 an ounce I talked about. It's from this the open pit mining.
Right. Okay. And can you give us a sense of what your CapEx exploration or expectations are for this year? It sounds like you mentioned development. You get fairly far ahead of it early in the year, but I presume you'll continue developing for next year or for 2021's budget. Just give us a sense of what to expect.
Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, no, we will continue to develop underground. The point I was making there is that the development for the production ounces this year is effectively, it's not nearly complete already. So we're in good shape there. In terms of CapEx for the year, Luke, I don't know if you have it offhand. It'll be a step down from where it was this year, but probably not significantly. Luke, do you have anything to add in terms of numbers?
Yeah, it'll be down a reasonable amount. I'd expect about $3 to $4 million each quarter, and most of that will be for underground development.
Okay. Okay, that's quite helpful. And just on, I think that you've been fairly muted about this, but the VAT receivable, hugely positive news. I guess, do you have any kind of comment there on what this means for the future, or is it kind of too early to draw any conclusions?
Justin, let me make a quick comment, and then I'll ask Luke to be more specific. Listen, overall, we've been very quiet on it, and there's a good reason for that because, you know, our profile in Tanzania is, you know, we're very careful about our own profile in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is hugely positive for Chanta. It's a big breakthrough. I mean, $7.4 million of VAT improvement on a gross basis is a big outcome for Chanta. But again, it's managing that story. So, Luke, any addition from you on, on kind of what to expect?
Sure. I think just to summarize, during the quarter, Chanta received $2.7 million in VAT refunds. They came in two installments in November. And then at the end of December, we offset almost twice that amount. So it was $4.8 million against corporate income tax. And that was in accordance with the laws of Tanzania. I think the important point here to note is that a further $1.5 million is available immediately to offset against 2020 corporate income tax under the current approved amounts. And then, you know, we remain of the view that we've always held that the outstanding VAT receivable, which is $21.8 million, will be approved for a refund or an offset in due course.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. That's very clear, and I apologize if it's at all awkward to discuss on a public line, but I think from certainly in the investment community, it's a very very positive development.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll clear the line and let anyone else get it.
And just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And the next question comes from the line of Will Dimmitt from Senkos. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, guys. Can you just run us through the latest sort of your sense of what's going on in Tanzania, just following these rumors and stuff from reneging contracts, things with Barrick and court case and things like that?
Yeah, no, fair enough. We see the same... the same updates as you do in the kind of media. You know, what I can say in terms of these, I think you might be referring to these retention licenses.
Yeah.
You know, there's two groups that have put their head up. This was flagged, 2 years ago, I think. I continue to believe that, you know, opportunities and challenges in Tanzania or any place really is down to kind of individual circumstances that you kind of create for yourself. You know, I'm in Tanzania right now, so is Luke. We're operating without any issues and continue to have very good relationships. I'm seeing the TRA tomorrow. So, you know, we're kind of progressing very well. It's hard for us to comment about anyone else. But as I said, it's really down to kind of creating your own opportunities or challenges in the country.
Okay, that's fair enough. Thanks.
Yeah.
And the next question comes from the line of Laddie Beck from Redmayne Bentley. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello, Eric and Luke. Very happy New Year to both of you and excellent results, which I'm very pleased with. Also, I'd like to make a point that your helpfulness to the local community, I think, is excellent to create good relations, and please carry on. It's very well received, certainly by me. Just one thing I was going to ask. You've still got 40,000 ounces that you've sold forward. Do you know how long that's going to take to complete, and would that be sort of by the middle of the year, or presumably you won't need to sell any more forward because your debt position has improved dramatically, so
Laddie, thank you very much. Happy New Year to you as well. I'll pass on to Luke to just take us through the forward sales.
Sure. Hi, Laddie.
Hi.
The forward sales will be, we plan to settle them over the next about 12 months, just over. So we intend to be unhedged by the end of Q1 next year.
So that's gone up, has it, since the middle of this June, I think, was when you hoped to eradicate the forward sale?
Well, what happened previously was that in June, that's when we repay our senior lender, Investec Info, and the hedges are with them. So initially, that was the date whereby we were expected to settle all the hedges. But Investec have allowed us to extend the hedge book out, give us a bit more time to settle those.
Right. So obviously, in the meantime, you've been getting the current market price by extending your forward hedging.
Yes, what we've been doing is each shipment that we make, we've been delivering 500 ounces into the hedge book. So it's been coming down slowly, and that'll increase over the next 12 months.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that.
And as there are no further questions, I'll hand it back to you, Eric.
Yes, thank you very much. And just as a follow-up to that last question by Laddie, we haven't added any new hedges, and we don't have any plans to do so. We're not speculators of the gold price. So this was just purely related to debt in the past. Thank you, everyone, for joining this call. Appreciate it. Thank you for your support over the last year, and we're looking forward to continued production strength, mine life extension, and rewarding our shareholders over the next 12 months. Thank you.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.